the great Earl Lewis and the Channels in the 50s on 5. Earl is joining me live right now from New York.
And having a good time.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the Night Prowse show. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Flames of My Heart sounds a bit like The Closer You Are.
Well, we were trying to duplicate The Closer You Are. You know, and it didn't happen because that record didn't get much airplay at all.
Mm. You said you're a big fan of Willie and the Harptones.
Oh, yes. Willie's my idol. And you know what? We did a show back in 1973. We gave another show at the Hotel Diplomat. We had Willie Winfield and the Harptones on the show, and the whole kick of the show was supposed to be that Willie Winfield would sing a song, My Love for You Will Never Die, with the Channels. And I was to do Sunday Kind of Love with the Harptones.
Oh.
And believe it or not, nobody recorded it. You know,
oh.
In those days, people weren't recording, you know, with cameras at the shows and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not documented anywhere.
Oh, it's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
When was that show?
That was 1973 also.
Wow. 73 was a good time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, would Sunday Kind of Love be your favorite Harptones, or is there another Harptones record that you really like better?
Everything. Everything the Harptones did is wonderful.
Yeah, off the air, we were talking about the quality of the recording and how sometimes the recordings, especially the Harptones recordings, aren't necessarily recorded so well fidelity-wise.
Right.
But that's one of the things that makes them so great
absolutely,
today.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It wasn't about being perfect. It was about capturing a moment.
Yep, that's what it was.
And it's like you can hear things going on. You can hear sometimes wrong notes get hit on a piano.
That's right.
And that's just, you know, hey, that's what happens. So
right.
Tell me what the studio that you were using back in like 56, 57 was like. Do you remember those days?
Yeah, it was Beltone Studio down in the 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Beltone had a great reputation.
Yeah, we did a lot of our recordings at Beltone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a lot of the big companies used to call Bobby Robinson from Whirling Disc. When they had new artists come by, they would call him to get his opinion about the sound. Because he had an ear for the sound. His label wasn't, I don't think it was national, but he had a national ear. He had an ear for
a national ear, that's good.
A national ear for the sound. They relied on his ability to pick hits.
Did you guys record, you were recording this with the band in the same room with you, right?
Yeah, well, you know, in those days, they didn't have arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just went, you got down to the went down to the studio, and you would just sing the song for the guys in the band, and everybody would jump in.
So you just kind of showed them how the song was supposed to go.
And they just built the music around what you were doing. And it was good. It was good.
And were you guys gathered around one microphone?
I think we used two mics.
The vocals,
the background and the lead, two mics. So sometimes it was hard to separate. You know, like if someone was singing an off note in the background, it was hard to fix it up. You would have to do the whole thing over. You know, it's not like today. You have, you know, each person has a mic, so you take that voice out and you redo it.
Yeah, you can multi-track it today, and you can just punch in and fix a part.
But sometimes those off notes and whatever were very interesting.
How long, this is kind of an odd question, but how long did it take for, after you guys left the studio, for the record to appear? It was pretty quick, right?
Well, in most cases, yeah, it was pretty quick. I think Bobby Robinson, as soon as we left the studio, the record was playing on some station somewhere. And, you know, and it was a very short time after he recorded the records, they put them out. We didn't leave anything in the can. You know what the can means, right?
Yeah, left to unreleased.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, especially when the oldies started, a lot of people were looking for unreleased stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of groups went and recorded songs at that time and said, oh, this is unreleased, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, what that's all about.
Speaking of when you just talked about, like, with oldies and stuff, I mean, the first real oldies revival seemed to happen in around 60, 61, 62 in New York, around Times Square Records and things like that. Did you guys experience, like, a real big influx in, you know, popularity?
Well, you know, I didn't hear about the oldies thing until 1969, but it was a brand new day. We started. We did experience that. And what happened? We were working so much, and we thought, well, gee, we'll go to the studio and record, and you know, be rediscovered. But and we did shows, and we would try to soup the songs up, you know, jazz them up, because we didn't want to be known as oldies. We wanted to be content. We thought that someone would come along and rediscover us.
Right.
And I was singing in a club. I'll never forget. I was singing in a club in Jersey, a place called Revelation. And I'm souping the song up. When I first saw you, baby, you know, I didn't saw you. And a woman, I'll never forget, and she put me right on the right track. She came up to the stage and she said, listen, we appreciate what you're trying to do, but we would like for you to sing the song as close to what it was. And she was right.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see the clothes you are, not a jazzed up version of it.
And you can't change a good thing.
No, so she put me on the right track, and I hope I'm still on that track. I'd like to believe that I am.
Well, Earl, it's funny you should say, because people can see if you're on the right track or hear it at North Fork Theater in Westbury, New York Saturday.
That's right.
And at Secaucus High School.
Absolutely.
That's a swinging high school in New Jersey,
Secaucus,
New Jersey. That's on the 10th.
We go back to where we were, you know. She put me on the right track, and I'm staying on that track.
Because
it's not fair to people who come to see you, and they're expecting to hear the songs one way, and you have something else in mind.
The way that the Penguins define Los Angeles West Coast doo-wop, you guys define New York East Coast doo-wop.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Now let's Well, actually, I had a question about when you're singing today. Is there a specific song that you know it's coming up in the set list and you get kind of excited about, or a song that you just love to sing still over and over again? You never get tired of it?
No. I don't get tired of any of the songs. You know why? Because each audience, it's a new experience with each audience. So, you know, some people might say, oh, you sing the same thing over 50 years. You've been singing the same song. But we have different. We've had different audiences for 50 years. So, you know, they all excite me.
Do you have a story behind the story on My Love Will Never Die?
My Love Will Never Die by Earl Lewis and who?
Okay. The Channels?
No,
the Channels aren't with you on that record?
No, it's Clifton the bass. And Earl Lewis, but we had the Starlights because the Channels had broken up at that time, and we came up with this song, but we didn't have a group, and the bass knew the Starlights, so they did the background on My Love For You Will Never Die and Bye Bye Baby.
Wow, so could we call that maybe your first solo record?
That sounds cute. Yeah, my solo record.
I'm joined by Earl Lewis of Earl Lewis and the Channels, and we are so honored to have you here. And we're going to hear My Love Will Never Die on Doo-Wop Thursday. It's the Night Prowse Show on the 50s on 5.
I know I love you.
In the Channels on the 50s on 5. I got Earl on the telephone right now.
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
I'm having a good time too. Thanks for coming on this Doo-Wop Thursday.
You're more than welcome.
I love the feel of What Do You Do. It's got just a nice, it's got an upbeat feel to it. Like you can't be upset. You can't be sad when you listen to that record.
Yeah, right.
It brightens your day. Tell me about this DVD that you guys did.
Well, we did a show down in Florida on April the 3rd in 2005. You had my idol on the show, Willie Winfield and the Harptones, the Solitaires. You had Pookie Hudson and the Spaniels.
The late, great Pookie Hudson.
The late, great Pookie Hudson. It was such a privilege to be on a show with Pookie. You know, Pookie Hudson and I go back to the 50s. We used to do the Howard and the Royal, the Apollo. We used to do all those shows together.
He was some guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a great singer. I mean, he was really great. Anyway, they made a DVD of the show. And those who are interested in buying the CD, DVD, they can log on to the website, dhduwop.com, and they can buy it, and it's very reasonable.
That's very reasonable.
You have four groups there, and you have about maybe 40 or 50 songs.
Wow.
So anybody who's interested, they can log on to dhduwop.com. And
dhduwop.com.
They'll get all the information, and I'm sure they'll be pleased with it. If you don't like the channels, you'll love the other group, okay?
We had Pookie on this past summer.
Well, that was wonderful,
and,
I'm sure.
Pookie came into the studio with me, and he was so healthy,
mm-hmm.
and he was so gracious. He came on the air for about 2 hours.
That's wonderful.
And it was so great. When I heard he was getting sick again, I just couldn't believe it because he was in such good shape when I saw him
mm-hmm.
this summer, and that was very sad, but... So that's great. I mean, not just get to see you, but also get to see Willie and
Willie and Solitaires. I mean,
oh yeah, and Pookie
and Pookie Hudson, right?
Man, oh man, dhduwop.com.
Mm-hmm.
And your website, if people want to find out your tour dates, and I'm sure there's probably a link to the DVD on that too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, they can just go to google.com and type in Earl Lewis and mm-hmm. the channels, and it will come right up.
Right.
So much to talk to you about. I get a lot of requests for the song "Do What Lovers Do," and it's definitely been recorded in like the 80s or something.
Yeah, I think we did that in 1988. A guy named Dave Andrell had an idea that he took about maybe 20 groups and he studied their styles and he wrote songs that if you heard those songs you would say, "Oh, that's the Cleftones, that's the Channels, that's this and that." And we recorded it. He had it was a two-album set, and he recorded it. It did well. A lot of people ask us to sing that song, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's heavily requested on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So let's
hear it. Sounds like something that could have been recorded in the 50s.
Yeah, let's hear it right now. It is definitely in a 50s style, and it's definitely in your style.
Right.
It's just the music instrumentation does sound a little more modern than
what...
Yeah. We were just talking about the funkiness of the recordings in the 50s and that sometimes getting it right wasn't always the right thing to do.
The right thing. Getting it right wasn't always right.
Right. Well, Do What Lovers Do definitely has more right in it than wrong.
Okay. Okay.
Lovers do. Hey, Earl, what do lovers do?
Well, I can't say it on the radio.
All right, you're just going to have to figure it out for yourself.
Right.
It's a bunch of good stuff, though, I'm sure.
Yep.
You wouldn't be singing about it if it wasn't good.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I'm joined by Earl Lewis of Earl Lewis and the Channels. And if you want to see him, the Channels are playing this weekend at the North Fork Theater in Westbury, New York, if you're in the metro area. And you're also going to be in Secaucus High School, Secaucus, New Jersey, on the 10th.
Yeah, on the 10th, yeah.
To get more information, just go up to their website. Go to google.com and type in Earl Lewis and the Channels. And And one of my favorite songs, and I know my my listeners will agree with me on this, one of your greatest records is your version of That's My Desire. And that's a song that's been done by practically everybody. It's like Gloria.
Yes, it's a Gloria-type song.
If you're going to sing doo-wop, if you're going to sing doo-wop in the 50s fashion, you better know how to sing Gloria. You better know how to sing Glory of Love. And you better know how to sing That's My Desire.
That's right. You know what happened with that?
What
how
happened?
We came to record That's My Desire?
Tell me the story, Earl Lewis.
Okay, we were recording with Whirling Disc, and I think they sort of got tired of us. You know, we weren't doing the hits anymore. So we heard about George Goldner down on 51st Street in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
We went down there. Richard Barrett was there.
Oh.
The day we went down there.
Wow.
And we had some other songs like All Alone and The Girl Next Door. And we sang those songs for George Goldner. And Richard Barrett said, listen, I have a song for you. So he told us, he gave us the song. He told us exactly how to sing it. We recorded it a week later. And the song came out and was a hit for us.
That's amazing.
Yep, he told us exactly how to sing the falsetto and to sip a little glass of wine. And it was a successful song for us.
It's one of my most popular versions of the song
here
on the show. We still get lots of requests for it. So that's interesting. That any other stories regarding George Goldner or Richard Barrett?
No, I have some stories, but I can't tell.
You can't tell.
On the radio.
Do they involve Morris Levy?
It involved a lot of people.
Wow. All right.
Well, what happened? You know what happened with George Goldner? I mean, we did That's My Desire,
mm-hmm.
and then we did another song called All Alone? Yeah, the Altar of Love, and the Chantels and the Dubs were hot at that time. So I think George Goldner lost interest in the Channels, and we went back to the Whirling Disc, and we did My Love for You Will Never Die on the Fury label,
mm-hmm.
that was owned by Whirling Disc. So that's the story, Jerry. That's the story.
Well, that's a great story, and I think we should close out with That's My Desire, since it's just such a hot version.
Well, listen, I just want to thank you for having me, and I want to thank all those fans out there who keep coming back to see the Channels, and they are the reason we are where we are today. We just thank them so much.
And thank you for making such great music.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I hope to talk to you again real soon.
Okay, good night.
Good night, Earl.